It's time to light up a cigar and talk about business and cars. Are you ready to get the insider edge and pick up a few ideas that you can incorporate into your business today? Your host, Brandon Green, has 25 plus years in the automotive industry, with 10 plus years owning his own business. Together with a diverse lineup of guests from all industries, he's asking the right questions to get you the answers you seek.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Business Cars and Cigars. I'm your host, Brandon Green, and I have a very special guest with me today. We're just kicking off our season three, and I have my cousin here on Zoom. We're doing this remote, but Joanna Odell, and she is the CEO of Safety, Health, and Environment Consulting in Tucson. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm out here in Tucson.
What I wanted to do is kind of what you do is not something me in the car audio industry really do a whole lot. Worried about safety and things like that. So thought bringing you on and getting a little perspective on that. But also, you know, you've been an entrepreneur and a ton of experiences and different things, but just talk and have a little fun with it. So if you want to tell everybody, you know, kind of a little bit more in depth what you do and who you are and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. Yeah, so I'm Joanna Odell. I own Safety, Health, and Environmental Consulting. I've had it for a couple of years now. I'm a certified safety professional, and I'm also a lead auditor for ISO, International Standard Organization, ISO 9001, which is quality. I do 14001 for environmental management system, and then I also do 45001 for occupational health and safety. So environmental health and safety spans most industries, and especially if you have 10 or more employees, that's when OSHA really takes a good hard look. And again, the EPA, if you're using any like hazardous chemicals that are, you know, in your environment or going out into the air, water, soil, they're taking a good hard look. So I'm here to help everyone stay in compliance, you know, with EPA, OSHA, it stems into fire code, national electric code, you name it. And I'm your woman.
Wow. So, that just a huge broad spectrum of things you're hitting there.
It is. Yeah. Everyone's like, you should really narrow it down. And I'm like, well, it spans the entire, you know, environmental health and safety. And then there's lots of one-offs that I've done, whether it's asbestos or, you know, hazardous material, you know, so you name it. And, you know, I've done it. I'll do like EH&S, mock OSHA inspections, risk assessments, needs analysis, you know, right policies, programs, procedures. As a result of COVID, everyone's now familiar with PPE. So I write that. Yeah. And for your programs or for your companies, and I tailor it to your needs. And Yeah. So for instance, in automotive, something you might see would be machine guarding or let me think of another one, small hand tools, you know, those are the three that come to mind, or like HAZCOM, like, any of your oils or WD-40, you know, for HAZCOM, all of that. And you got to have a safety data sheet for everything. So I'm that go-to person to help with all of that. And so a lot of companies, that are small fly under the radar, but it's still required that they have that. So I'm kind of, you know, that's my meat and potatoes there, the small to medium sized companies that, you know, need an environmental health and safety management system that they maybe don't know it until somebody gets hurt. And then they come looking, and then I'll do training for DOT, the EPA, OSHA, Army Corps of Engineers, you name it. And I'll help you.
That's awesome. Give us a little story or something. What's been some of a fun one that comes to mind that you remember, maybe wasn't very good or definitely needed some work.
Oh, okay. You know what? No, I'm going to go to some of my dad's stories. Those are the fun ones. trying to get him to do a presentation with me, you know, for a while now. And he likes to poke fun, you know, because he knows that he pushes the limits. Like, I don't know how many times growing up, and, you know, because I was as a kid staying at home, I kind of, you know, had that outside. Sometimes it was an outside perspective looking in. Sometimes I was right there, you know. Yeah. There would be times where he'd call up and call the mom, hey, I need you to come pick me up because I've just rolled the backhoe or something. And come to find out over the years, he's done that a couple of times. And I'm thinking, oh my God, Dad, you know, now that I know that, you know, how my career field, environmental health and safety, applies. And, you know, maybe that's subconsciously why I got into risk management. I don't know. And it just, you know, it's the irony, and it cracks me up. But by the same token, it's scary. There's so many times that he could have died. I tease him about being the cat with 9 lives, you know? Yeah. And there, I remember there was one time that I think he was in a, I think he was trying to dig a trench or something, and it had rebar sticking in it. Or maybe he was like in a crawl space that had rebar sticking in it. I can't quite remember. It was, you know, I was like grade school age. Anyway, mm-hmm. He fell into it, and he missed just getting that artery by his armpit. It could have totally killed him. Next thing I know, mom's rushing him to the emergency room. And I remember being horrified, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, all of these, you know, workplace injuries and what that actually means, you know, I can take these experiences as a kid that my dad had on the construction site and apply them to what that means real world now, you know, and actually see that, you know, the gravity of the situation. And it just blows my mind. But yeah. So,
yeah, well, us growing up in the Midwest and farms and all that stuff, I'm sure we did a ton of stuff that was not up to code, I think would be the nice way to put it.
Yeah, definitely agricultural and farming kind of, you know, they fall under the radar. Or, you know, they get away with a lot more than like the construction industry. Or I focus on manufacturing, technology, construction. Those are kind of my go-tos. But yeah, construction, you got to really be careful. And out here, they focus a lot on like the roofers and, you know, people out there that need fall protection, that they fall off of the roof time and time again. And again, they've had so many of them happen that now they are, OSHA's got their eyes wide open. So, you know. That's work for me.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, yeah, that's great. And, you know, at the end of the day, I know running some, you know, a company myself and whatever, and I know, you know, this, but, you know, making sure we do what we can to make sure everything's safe for the employees and stuff comes in huge. Not only for the, you know, money aspect or whatever, that's a small part of it, but, you know, could literally hurt or kill somebody, or they be missing fingers or anything else. So we definitely try to do everything we can with that.
Yeah. And that's what I want. I want everyone to go home, you know, safe and healthy. And it always just surprises me how many of my colleagues, when you get to talking to them, have experienced death in the workplace, you know, and it's so scary. I'll call back home, and I know that some of the local manufacturing plants have had either deaths or near misses, and it's, you know, I won't go into that, but it's, you know, there are some that hit really close to home, and it's just scary. And not to mince words, but, you know, it's something else, you know.
Yeah, I know when we talked about you coming on the show and everything, I started looking around a little bit and thought, there's probably a couple things I need to work on and fix and change around here, which that's a good thing. You know, that's all right. But yeah, like you said, you know, just luckily small company and whatever, you know, but yeah, making sure we have the MSDS sheets and all this little stuff around. And Everybody knows where, you know, safety stuff is and taking care of stuff. I mean, we deal with loud music and loud cars and stuff too. And I mean,
yeah,
I grew up just listening to it, but, you know, making sure we got, you know, hearing protection, some of that stuff for some of the tools and some of the cars and some of the things like that, I think is important as well for people in my industry, especially to think about.
100%. So, for instance, noise monitoring, if it's something that's never been done, it might be a consideration that you have. And if it's anything over 85 decibels, then you probably should be in a hearing conservation program, and everyone needs to be trained on that, you know, before they even start work, you know. But those are things you won't know until you do the monitoring. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I can tell you we're over 85 dB daily for yeah. Sure. I mean, just tools running, or sometimes right. just the guys talking are so louder than that. But so you've had, and I admit, what I did was I listened to the last podcast, the one you had sent me. I'd seen you've been on, so I had a couple things I was thinking, but you've had a lot of experiences and whatever you brought through your life. So I'm kind of running with some of what you were speaking about on there, but that's really all kind of led you to what you're doing now.
Yeah. So I started in the military. I worked aviation supply and hazardous material to include quality assurance. And that's kind of where I got my, you know, I put my toes in the water. And, you know, I won't tell secrets that don't need to be shared for, you right. know, legality reasons. But, you know, it was definitely eye-opening, some of the things that I saw. And I got you know, my hazardous materials certification. And then that's when, next thing I know, I'm getting my degree in environmental science. And, you know, you really start to see the bigger picture. And again, it's not just environmental. It includes occupational health and safety. So, yeah, I've worked in environmental consulting, pharmaceutical. I've worked in mining, technology, local and federal government, chemical, oil and gas. And again, the cool thing is environmental health and safety is the same across all industries. The focus might be a little more intense in different areas on different topics,
right.
but it's pretty much the same across the board. You know, everyone knows California might be more strict, but, and then mining is much more strict, but the things aren't all that much different. You know, they're pretty much the same across the board. So it makes doing my job a little bit easier and being able to bounce from one industry to the next, you know? So yeah, it doesn't get boring that way, you know? So.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm a little amazed, honestly, that, you know, all that, so many different things all really tie together at the end of the day, because, you know, in what we do, I'm not going to think about, you know, like you mentioned, mining or something like that. But I guess there are some aspects that, like you were saying, that really do kind of cross, you know, and so things that everybody needs to worry about the same.
Yeah. So take, for instance, mining and automotive. You're both going to have potential hearing conservation programs for noise monitoring, or, you know, yep. You're both going to have PPE programs. You're both going to have, what else? Hazard communication. You know, you're both going to have to collect your safety data sheets. So yeah, there's definitely similarities. So, and you know, you might not have trenching and excavating where they might, depending on the situation. And, right. You know, so that might be a difference. Yeah. So again, that's what makes it easy to do my job, in that, you know, after over 20 years of doing the same thing, I'm able to remember it because I've been doing it for so long. And it doesn't matter whether I'm in, you know, construction or manufacturing. So, yeah.
I'm going to head a slightly different direction here a little bit. You mentioned your dad, my Uncle John, and growing up with him running his own construction company and business and things like that. You've definitely been, you know, around the entrepreneurial side a lot throughout the years. What's kind of some of your takeaways or whatever that you can add to that side of things?
So I kind of felt like growing up that, you know, half my family is entrepreneurs, and then you too. And I think even my grandpa was sort of one, in that, you know, he had his own farming, you know, he did a lot of that and took it to the farmer's market, but, you know, he farmed a lot of land too. So it was kind of, I think it was probably just that natural next step of progression for me, in that I didn't always want to be a manager. Like everyone wants to be a manager to make more money. I remember growing up, I read the Dilbert Principle. I don't know if you've ever seen that comic strip, but I read that, and the with the dog being the consultant. And I remember just getting a kick out of that, thinking, I'm going to be a consultant when I get older instead of a manager. So, you know, take those two pieces of the puzzle, and here I am, you know, 20 some years later, I think. Because of the comic strip and everyone being entrepreneurs, I'm like, I'm going to do it too. There's a lot to learn.
Well, definitely. Like, Go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, it's a good thing that I know my job inside and out, because the business acumen side of it has definitely been a learning, definitely a lot to learn there, in that, you know, just little things like learning how to do QuickBooks on my own, set up my own website, and set up my own phone. You know, there's a lot of things to do that, like, and I'm just teaching it all to myself. So, it's liberating being able to learn it and do it on my own. But at the same time, it takes a lot of extra time. You know, the learning curve is definitely there. It's a big curve for me. So, a problem taking on big challenges. So, you know, that's me.
Definitely having, you know, like with us, when something new comes out or whatever, we got to learn it, and dealing with new vehicles every year, things like that. There's always challenges in learning things that come up, and definitely some of them I've delegated, and some of them I do myself or whatever at this point. Luckily I'm a little less in the vehicles every day anymore, but it's really tough to just, people don't think about all that little stuff, you know, like you said, you know, just setting up your phone, you know, or a website or something like that. There's a whole lot that may have to go into that, depending on what you're doing and what you want the website to do, and things like that. That's really hard to, just get everything together all at the same time.
Yeah. And I've had to learn finances and taxes, and it's all like, if I were maybe I should have taken that entrepreneur class in college or something, because there's a lot, and there's times where I'm bewildered. And thank goodness I've found some good people to mentor me, because they've been my saving grace, and that I can just text them and say, you know, how about billing? You know, I'm doing QuickBooks. And did you know that if I use a credit card, they're taking 2.99% per charge? You know, I'm like I knew it, but I didn't actually know it until it showed up. And I was like, oh, that was eye opener.
Yeah, definitely. And you get those nice, good, big invoices, then you realize a lot of it just left real quick.
Right. And then it's like, the other big thing is, okay, so you get that contract and you do it, and then you realize you got to keep that work coming in through the pipeline. And so you're going to be putting in long hours, which reminds me. So my dad had his own construction company for, I don't know, goodness, over 40 years. And I remember as a little kid playing Tetris. And I don't know. So that dates me. But
not at all. We're still young.
Dad would come up from the basement where his office was, and he'd be up until all hours of the night working on a bid, you know, for a job. And then he'd come up And he played Tetris with us kids. And then, here it is like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and we go to bed, and he goes back downstairs to work on that, finish the bid. He just needed a reprieve for a minute. And then next thing I know, I don't even know what time it got to bed, but then he'd be back up at like 5 a.m. to get ready to go to church. And, then of course he had to be to work by 6, if not sooner, and I was just, now I see that and I'm putting that all together and I'm just, floored, I'm like, I don't know that I would have gotten up every morning for church, but to each their own. I'm like another hour of sleep, and just say, I love you, God.
Yeah, exactly.
All good.
I can definitely remember a lot of late nights and some of that going on when we were growing up. I remember being out there and seeing him doing a lot of that, and I've seen that quite a few places, and that and the farming and just everything. And
Oh yeah, and then there's the farming.
yeah oh yeah certain seasons you might as well just forget sleep. And I was a kid then, so I had no idea what they were actually doing. But but it is, you're right. That's another form of, being an entrepreneur and out there running your own business and doing things. So it all kind of definitely, the lessons and everything definitely fall into the same categories a lot of times.
Did you get into farming? I don't remember if you did or
No,
not.
I grew up helping on farm and everything and doing some of that, but I was never into it myself at all.
I know some of our other cousins did, but I remember, yeah, there were years or seasons, I should say, that dad was out there helping with the farm, helping with grandpa's farm too. He's like, gotta go feed the cows. I'm like, holy cow, you were just up till all hours of the night doing a bit. And I heard that you went to church, and I was like, goodness, did you sleep? So yeah, it's crazy. And I can't imagine, doing all of that. I mean, I know I've got my sports that I do, and that takes out a lot of time. Like I was just talking with my boyfriend about trying to figure out when are we going to go work out at the gym, and if I've got to travel for work, how does it all come into play, so because you got your billing, everything that has to get done, and then you got to take care of the pets, and it's constantly something.
It's definitely never ending. It's you got to want to do it, that's for sure.
Yeah, you gotta
So
love it.
yeah, if not, you're just not gonna make it. And it's tough sometimes, but being able to do what you want to do when you want to do it to a certain extent. It's really nice being able to what's the I usually hear buying back your time, I guess, so to speak. Being able to, doing all that work and whatever now, but then it gives you a lot of freedoms that you're able to do as well that you wouldn't be able to do, being a manager at some place somewhere, something like that as well. So I think
So
that's
how
a
long do you think it took you till you had time to start taking, more trips or whatever you wanted to spend your time on outside of the office?
I'm still working on it, to be honest with you. No, I mean, it kind of comes and goes depending on what we got going on here. There's times where I got to be here and help the guys with stuff, but that's one of the things with training the guys to handle the stuff day in and day out allows me time to focus more on the business and do some of that stuff. I mean, luckily with technology and everything we got now, I mean, this, my phone right here, I can do, my QuickBooks billing, I can do everything. I can communicate with Crystal, my wife, that does, thank God for her because she handles all that finance stuff. Because if it was left to me, I'd still be broke.
Oh, I agree. I'm like, that's not my favorite part.
No, I'm is not good for me. But yeah, I can do all my email, I can do everything right on that thing. So for me to be out somewhere else, it's really not that big of a deal, luckily. Now, like back you're talking about, you know, your dad, and back when we were growing up, I mean, he had to sit in the office and do all that and get everything taken care of. I couldn't imagine trying to do that now with what we deal with, you know, I don't even know how people found places back then.
Oh, I know. Thank goodness for GPS.
Yeah, I remember when I was 18, I drove to Florida, went to it was a car stereo school down there. Drove down there by myself, just grabbed a map and took off and went and found it and did whatever and got back. And I think about that nowadays. I'm like, what a dumbass.
You know? Right. And I remember writing turn by turn directions down so I wouldn't miss something, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. And where we grew up, you know, Iowa, Missouri, you know, right there together. And I mean, take a turn at the chuck hole past the, you know, old barn and stuff. I mean, that we literally heard that.
Oh, people, my goodness.
Joke about it, but
yeah, but it was so bad with directions.
But yeah, yeah, luckily this technology and everything we got now is really, yes, there's more to do and stuff to, you know, but we can kind of condense it down into one place, I think, which is really helpful.
Yeah, the phones are great for supply and demand. But I remember teaching my daughter, put that phone down when teaching her how to drive. I was like, you need to memorize all of the streets in town. And, you know, let's start by how do you get to school? And then how do you get to the mall or to the grocery store? And you need to memorize that stuff so that you can pay attention to, you know, the other drivers on the road. Or my favorite part was teaching her to back up. She's like, well, I can't see her. Something about the camera to be able to reverse. And I'm like, yeah. No, you need to turn your body around and look out the back window.
Yes.
Because that camera, you don't see everything from like the bottom of the trunk down. I go, you'll hit it. Like if there's a boulder or something right there, you'll hit it. I go, so you need to physically turn around and look. And she was like, oh, you know, like she didn't even realize that that was a thing. And I remember when I started teaching her, I was just blown away that they don't even teach that in schools nowadays, or at least around here in Tucson, they don't teach that. And it just surprised me. And I had I taught her how to drive, which, you know, again, amuses me, I guess, because, you know, I'm not afraid. I take lots of risks. So I remember holding on to the handle. I took her up into some switchbacks to get her to learn to drive between like 45 to 55 miles per hour. And then again, learn how to drive the switchbacks. And so I kind of had to think about where in town I could teach her to drive certain places, because they don't necessarily have big open fields everywhere, you know. So was a fun one. But
we went through the same thing with ours, and our third one is 15 now. The other one, well, I got 2016, 15. And so I got one that just now started driving on his own, and he drives him and her to school, but then now we're going to be teaching a third one to drive. And so a little fun little story. We were back in Joplin, Missouri for Crystal's family for Christmas. And my daughter wanted to go drive around a little bit. Okay, sure. She ever hears this, she's going to throw a fit if that I told her, but it's fine. So we go out and she hasn't really driven much, and we're in my truck. Just F-250 truck, whatever. And so we get out and I get her onto the straight road, and we go down through a couple stop signs and whatever. Backcountry roads is where we're at. I'm thinking, this will be all right, you know, whatever. Go to make the road came to a T. We went to turn, told her to turn right, whatever. And she turned right and just kept turning. Through the ditch, into the cornfield.
Oh, no.
Luckily, the corn was gone and everything, but through the ditch and everything. And there was a Jeep behind us. The guys pulled up and wonder if we were okay. And I'm like, no, she just learned how to drive. I go, everything's fine. Look at the truck. Had a little mud on it. It's no big deal. But, just turned and geez, thought it'd straighten itself back out, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, it's like I didn't even think about that. So, I mean, we grew up riding, you know, motorcycles and three-wheelers and driving tractors and you name it. You know, I just thought, they didn't do that. And I totally didn't think about it, and sure as shit off we went. So I had to put in four-wheel drive, get us out of the field, and then back on the road. And But yeah, some of these roads were, you know, here by St. Louis. So some of the roads and stuff around here, we don't want the kids on them until they've learned a little bit and whatever. Cause, yeah, they're just didn't have the experiences, I guess we did.
Yeah. Jolie first learned to drive a four wheeler when she was really young back home when we'd go, you know, back to my family's house in Iowa. And, you know, I thought that it would just, you know, she would naturally take to driving a car. She waited a while. I think she was probably 18 before she actually got her driver's license, because the first time she didn't pass because she asked the lady a question about how to do a three-point turn, and she misunderstood because the lady gave her an extremely technical answer. And instead of asking that clarifying question, the lady pretty much failed her on the spot. And I was like, well, oh, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. But, yeah, so she drove like a granny, a little old lady, you know, after that, just because she was just so scared and cautious of everything. And I had her practicing on my little Honda Civic, and she did great. It was just a matter of building up her confidence. And, you know, fast forward a year and she was doing great. I think what happened was I broke my hip and my femur ball. It was what, summer of 2021, and it forced her to have to learn to drive and, you know, take care of me. And so she was forced to learn how to drive, and she had her license, and she just had to make it happen, and it helped her, you know. So I was like, here's I pretty much just gave her my car and gave her my credit card so that she could have gas. I don't know too many people that would do that, but I just handed it all over. I'm like, I can't walk. I'm like, you need to help me. So, but she's the greatest. She's got a big heart. She's very giving. And, you know, she was very helpful in my time of need. And, you know, she couldn't have done that if I hadn't given her, you know, the car and the keys and my credit card to do so. So, yeah, it was great.
That's a great little point to make. I'm going to pull this right back into the business thing with this a second, but that's a great point to make, that sometimes you got to trust people to, you know, employees, whatever it may be, to, you know, go out and do what needs to be done. They may not always do it exactly the way you want it, or, you know, the way things are, or the way you do it, so to speak, but, you know, that you got to trust them to go out and take care of it and get things done. And so I think that's an awesome point to, you know, to put in there is, you know, you just had to let her go a little bit.
Yeah, I agree, because I know when somebody else is in the car, back to that example, I get super nervous. But when I'm by myself, I can let some of that go and be like, oh, well, nobody else saw me make that stupid little mistake, and it's not that big of a deal, and we don't need to blow it out of proportion. But but yeah, and just in my, you know, in my personal and my professional life, I always have to tell myself, you know, nobody wants to get hurt, so don't say, and don't hurt, get hurt, or don't whatever, you know, just that doesn't need to be said. Or like if it's climbing a ladder, it's like, be careful, you know, you don't need to say that, people are going to be careful. Or, you know, it goes, you know, there's just a lot that, you know, let them, you know, give them you know, some line, let them, you know, but I don't want to say let them hang themselves, but, you know, give them some
leeway. I know what you mean.
Give them the leeway to, you know, to do well, you know, and everything that they need. And they don't want to do bad. They don't want to get hurt. So, yeah, you know, trust people and until they, you know, until something bad does happen, and then you just retrain them and, you know, give them a second chance. So just try, you know, everyone, you know, wants the best, I think, for themselves and for others. They're not out to get you, I don't think.
So. Yeah. I think that's one thing I've had to learn is letting go a little bit and letting the guys, you know, I've always heard it called, you know, give them a chance to fail, but also, but that goes both directions, you know, give them a chance to do it right too, you know? May not be exactly the way you'd have done it, but the job's done, and you know, let them handle it and figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's both personally and professionally. There's a lot that, you know, you don't need to say. It's understood. And so I'm always having to tell myself just little things like, you know, hey, if you're going to borrow my bike, you know, don't break it. You know, you don't need to say that. People know.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to break your property and they don't want to get hurt either. You know, so just, you don't even need to say that. You know?
I agree 100%. I am definitely guilty of that. You know, myself, I'll tell the guy, well, don't do that or whatever. I'm
like, right.
You know, they know this, you know, I'm sure they'll be fine. But I definitely am definitely guilty of of that for sure. Like, hey, we need to have this done. Well, no kidding. That's why we're working on it. We're aware.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, it goes both personally and professionally. And so I try to just say, have fun, have a great day, enjoy it. You know? Yeah.
So. Well, I think that is an awesome point for us to wrap this one up on. I'd definitely love to have you back sometime and talk a little bit more on some of this fun stuff and letting us know some of the things not to do to hurt ourselves, because some of us are prone to that. But anyway, do me a favor, let everybody know where they can find you at. Where's the best place to find you if they're looking for some consultations, things like that in their business? Where would be a good place to find?
Yeah. So go to joannaodell.wixsite.com/sheconsulting. And you can email me at joannaodell@sheconsulting.us. And maybe I can get you to put it up on the site for me when you put it up there.
We will definitely make sure and put the links and everything in for this episode and for you and all that as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to come on and talk with us and have a little bit of fun and reminisce down memory lane a little bit on a couple of things there. That was a lot of fun. So anyway, I hope you're doing great, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Brandon. I hope to see you soon.
Yes, definitely. Sometime you're back, or if I don't know if I'll be in Tucson anytime soon, but if I am, I will definitely be giving you a call.
Great. All right. You have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Business Cars and Cigars podcast. Make sure to share this with someone you know that can benefit from this content. Remember to support this show by rating, reviewing, and subscribing.